Again, I want to say thank you for allowing us to give honor to who honor is due. And I apologize. I think I overlooked an individual who did raise his hand saying that he had served. I'm not used to having someone in the front row, and so I don't look up that far. So again, thank you, sir, for your service this morning. It's been said that it is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. That it is the veteran and not the poet who has given us the freedom of speech. That it is the veteran and not the campus organizer who has given us the freedom to assemble. It is the veteran and not the politician who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran and not the preacher who has given us freedom of religion. And so to our veterans again, we say thank you for your sacrifice and thank you for your service. I always feel ill-equipped to preach on days such as this and messages such as a message on Veterans Day. I have absolutely no idea what a veteran has gone through nor what they have given up in order to serve our country. I do understand, though, what veterans' families and children and spouses give up while they are away serving our country. My dad, who, by the way, that is his induction picture up there. He was 17 years old in 1946 when he enlisted in the Air Force, and so that is my little tribute in honor to my father. You can see the good looks and the resemblance, can't you? But yeah, if you were married to a military person, or if you are the child of a military person, you also know some of what they go through, and you have served along with them, and you have given up a lot along with them. And so in terms of today's recognition, a veteran is obviously someone who has served in the military, and we want to say thank you. And any of our veterans could here today could probably tell you more than you ever cared to know about their particular branch of the service, why you should enlist in that branch or why you shouldn't enlist in that branch. And they could tell you more than what you ever cared to know. But we know, of course, in a much wider realm that a veteran is simply someone who has a long history. We would say been there, done that, wouldn't we? A veteran is someone who has a long history or experience in any particular field. And so this morning, Brother Ben read our scripture, the Apostle Paul is a veteran in his own right. As we find him at the end of his life, at the end of about a 30-year ministry here in 2 Timothy, he is a veteran of a war that is not against flesh and blood, but he has also had his run-ins with the Romans and the Jews and the Gentiles. And he has preached for over 30 years, and now he is here at the end of his life, soon to be a martyr at the hands of Nero, the Roman emperor. And as he nears the end of his life, writing from a cell, probably within hours, some scholars believe, within hours of his life being taken, and he knew he was at the very end, he sits there in that cell and he pins his final words to this young, reflecting on the war that he will soon depart, but that war will continue on until Jesus comes as Satan continues to try and prevail against the church and against the kingdom of God. And so he writes this letter to this young new recruit, a new boot, perhaps we would call him, fresh in the war, just starting out in this war that is not against flesh and blood, but that is against the rulers and the powers and the dark forces of this world. And in part he writes, let me read it again for you, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, he says, "You therefore," talking to Timothy, "you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And he continues on, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer." And so as this veteran of the war that is not against flesh and blood begins to pass the reins, so to speak, to this young new recruit. He shares about four things with him that I want to share with you this morning about being a good soldier. We sang that song at the beginning of our service, Onward Christian Soldiers, a great hymn of courage and of the church advancing forward and forward and forward. The church of Jesus Christ is never to retreat. It is always to advance. But if we are to advance, we need to understand some things about being a soldier for the Lord. And the first thing that Timothy would, or that Paul would tell Timothy, is to be strong. He says, be strong. Every branch of the military, without fail, has some entrance requirements. There's a physical test that you have to pass. Every branch of the military requires certain physical requirements on enlisting. You have to run so many miles in so many minutes. You have to do so many push-ups or so many pull-ups or a certain number of crunches. It's all rightly so about your physical ability. We want a strong, physically fit military, don't we? Because our protection is in their physical ability in many, many respects. But it's not that way with the army of the Lord. Yes, we want to keep ourselves, I believe, as children of God, as healthy as we possibly can. But it's not just about our physical prowess. There is a strength requirement, though, but it's not about the physical strength. Paul tells Timothy to what? Be strong in what? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's kind of an odd combination, isn't it? To be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. But you know, that's the only thing we have as believers in Christ is God's grace. That is how we are inducted, is by the grace of God. Grace is that unmerited favor, and it is the only point of entry into the Lord's army, is by God's grace. We don't get in because we are strong. We don't get in because we are, in fact, we get in because we are weak on our own. You and I are powerless to do absolutely anything about our sin, except confess it. That's all we can do, and turn from it. But it is only by confessing and turning that we receive God's grace. The Bible says, you know the verse well perhaps, for you are saved by grace through faith, and it is not from yourselves. We've done nothing. But it's God's gift, not from work, so that no one can boast. You see, it's not about, oh, I did this in order to get into heaven. I did this in order to have Jesus Christ as my Savior. No, it's not at all about what you do. It's all about what Jesus has done. By His grace we are saved. Physical ability and health is good, but that won't get you into the Lord's army. It's not about your ability, but about God's grace that Paul says is found only in Jesus Christ. It's not found in anything or anyone else. We just talked about that as we were looking through the book of Hebrews. Jesus is greater than anything and anybody. He is the only one that can extend grace to us to save us. So Paul says, be strong in the grace found in Christ Jesus. But there's something else you need to understand about this grace that is found in Christ Jesus. And that's what makes it such a paradox with strength. We don't normally think of strength and grace being put together, but they are here. Paul says you need to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are we to receive this grace from the Lord Jesus, but we are to pass this grace on to others. Not in the sense that we can do anything to save them, but let me ask you, as a strong, rough and tough American Christian, do you extend grace to others? You see, not only do we need to live in the grace of Jesus Christ, but we are to give the grace of Jesus Christ. How are you doing in that area? Are you turning the other cheek? Are you going the second mile? Are you blessing rather than cursing? forgiving others? Are you speaking in love? Or better yet, are you social mediating in love? Oh my goodness, we can talk loving words to each other, but you get us behind a computer screen where nobody else can see us, and we can say some vile, vile things about other people. Are you extending the grace of Jesus Christ? We've all heard the term, and no offense to our Navy men, but he cusses like a sailor. Do you? Depends on how hard I hit my finger, right? Or depends on how many times they cut me off on the freeway, right? Do you extend grace to other people? Paul says, no foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need. So, okay, so you don't cuss. So you don't swear. But what does he say? Only what is good for building someone up in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. Does that describe the kind of soldier you are? Do you give grace to others? Do you build them up in your encouragement? And the interesting thing here is that Paul does not give a disclaimer of believer or unbeliever. He says, do you speak words that build other people up? You know, we're all about building up our brothers and sisters sometimes, but we'd sure love to tear people down that don't believe or agree with us. Are you building people up with your words? Be strong, yes, but more than be strong in the arm in the army of the Lord. You don't get to the end of a long Christian service in the Lord's army by being weak, but by being strong in the grace of Jesus through trials and temptations, ups and downs. But yet you need something else, not just to be strong. Paul says you need commitment. Commitment. And when Paul, he says, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Again, that's a little interesting because when Paul uses that term, that word commitment, he's not talking about that sense of stick-to-itness. You know, remain tough, remain strong, remain in there, don't give up. Although Paul does know it takes that kind of commitment to be in the Lord's army, that's not what he's talking about here. I mean, after all, Paul didn't get to this point in his life by giving up the first time things got rough, right? I was shipwrecked, I was beaten, I was, you know, just read his letter to his second letter to the Corinthians. No, he was a strong man. He didn't give up. He had commitment. But that's not the kind of commitment that he's talking about here. There's another commitment that Paul is talking about here. The word commit that Paul uses here in this letter, it means to give over to another's care, protection, or performance. To give over to someone else's care, protection, or performance. Well, what is he talking about? It literally means to give as a trust to someone else. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, give your faith away to other people. Train them, teach them, because you will not always be in the Lord's army. There's going to come a time where you will retire. And there has to be people who come up after you. What he's talking about, as you read through Paul's two letters to this young soldier in the Lord's army, he's imparting personal and ministerial wisdom to him. He tells them, if you read through both of his letters, he tells them not to be fearful. He tells them to preach the word. He tells them to endure. He tells him, he gives them insight on the call and the office of elders and deacons. And these were the things that we know for certain that he passed on, committed to this young soldier, this young new recruit, Timothy. But let me tell you, there is value in being a veteran and being up in your years. That's the kind of commitment that he's talking about. Because as you advance in years and as you advance in your relationship with Jesus Christ, in your growth and in your knowledge of the Lord, you have so much to pass on about fighting the good fight of faith. Don't give up. Don't quit now. Don't let your age be a deterrent. Don't let your age cause you from stepping out of the fight, because you are not done until you are done in the army of the Lord. Don't check out early, because some of the best ways that you as a senior saint can fight the good fight is to help equip the younger recruits along the way. And let me tell you, you can't do that from a distance. You do that up close and personal. Some of the best ways that you can fight the good fight is to help equip the young recruits. You have so much wisdom in your years of service to the Lord. You know, I count it a blessing. I count it a blessing to know some of the great godly veterans that have helped me fight the fight of faith along the way. I count it a blessing for some of the senior saints who allowed me to fail. But I also count it a blessing for those who kept me from failing, who said, you better think about that. Or let me tell you about this. Or maybe we should consider this. I am so grateful for the veterans that have helped me in the fight against the powers of darkness who have stormed the gates of heaven on my behalf. And so, veterans, count it a privilege to sit with a young child during service. In fact, go out of your way to say, hey, why don't you come sit with me? Or maybe you could go sit in the back row with them. Or maybe you could say, hey, can I come by and take you to lunch this week? Or to dinner. I just want to talk to you. I just want to get to know you. You know, pass on to them what it means to worship the Lord. Pass on to them what it means to pray without ceasing. Pass on to them what it means to endure hardship. Pass on to them that life is not always good and fair, and troubles do come, but joy does also come in the morning. Pass on to them when one of us is hurt, we all hurt. Pass on to them that when one rejoices, we all rejoice. Pass on to them that we are to encourage one another, and that we pass on to them that we are to confront one another in love, that what you do does affect all of us, and what you do does affect all of us. Spend time with them. In fact, I would venture to guess that if you went to Kevin Wiltshire and said, I don't know what I can do, but is there any way I can help in the student ministry? You could probably push him over with a feather. Have you thought? You are never too old. Never. So, dear saints, veterans of God, not only are you to be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but you are to commit and pass on to younger soldiers of the faith. But listen, I don't want to put all the burden on you. Because young recruits, you back there on the back rows, look around today and pay attention to some of these other folks. They really do know what they're talking about. They've been around the block a few times. Some of them know more than you will ever. Some of them have forgotten more than you will ever know about the Bible. Spend time with them. You know, if they don't seek you out, seek them out. Because they are some of the greatest people you will ever, ever know. So we need to be strong. We need commitment. We also need endurance. Paul says to this young Timothy, he says, you need to endure. Paul is telling young Timothy in verse 3, share in the sufferings. Some translations say, endure hardship. Endure hardship. The fact is that if we are to share in the sufferings of Christ, then we will endure hardship. It just goes, they go together. You cannot share, you know, we love that verse. We want the power of His resurrection and the suffering of His hardships as well. You have to have both. You need both. You need the power of His resurrection, but you also need to share in the fellowship of His suffering. Soldiers know what it means to endure hardship, to go without sleep, without a comfortable bed. Those of us who have not been in the military, we cannot even begin to imagine the hardship that some of you have endured and some of the things that you have seen and wish that you could forget. And so again, we say thank you. I say thank you. To serve our country is no easy task. I heard one veteran who said, "It is something I wouldn't take $1 million not to have done, but I wouldn't take $1 million to do it all over again." Hardship, suffering. It's not an easy life. It's not a glamorous life, but it's an important life. But so too, it is important for the soldier of the Lord to endure hardship. Paul knew something of this. In this same letter, Paul tells young Timothy, "But as for you, be serious about everything. Endure hardship." You see, when ministry gets tough, not if, but when. When the Christian life gets hard, not if, but when. Trust me, if you are living your life as a believer in Jesus Christ like you should, it will get hard. There will be opposition. Stick with it. When things don't go your way, stick with it. Endure rough times. Paul did. And now he can say at the end of his life, "I have finished the good fight. I have finished the race. I have what? Kept the faith." There's been a rash of Christian believers and pretty famous ones who have recanted their faith. Say, "I no longer believe that." I'm here to tell you, if they no longer believe it, they never did believe it. Don't be like that. Don't cut and run the first time life gets hard. You know, we won't go into all the details, but all of the 12 disciples, John was the only, of all of the 12 disciples, John was the only one to die a natural death. Did you know that? He was the only one to die a natural death. And that was as an exile living in persecution on the island of Patmos. The only one. Have you ever taken the time to read any of Fox's Book of Martyrs? We are here today, not just because of our veterans of the U.S. military. We are here today because of veterans of the faith who literally gave up their lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. And it could be argued whether it's to our benefit that we don't have to do that. Listen, we have grown comfortable in the American church. We really have. It is what it is, but it's to our detriment. I'm not just talking about the fact that we have lights and air and padded cushions. You saw the pictures of Africa that when I came back. People walking for miles, sitting on, I needed help getting up on those little wooden benches. We don't get offended if when life gets rough as a believer in Jesus Christ. We clamor, "I have my rights." No, you don't. You have rights as an American citizen, and that is wonderful, and we want to protect those. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have absolutely zero rights. You give all of that up when you ask King Jesus to come into your life. Have this attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped. Instead, he emptied himself. When we come to Jesus Christ, we maintain our American citizenship, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, we empty ourselves to everything that we hold dear. Endure hardship. Don't be surprised. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. He said that the world hated him, and they will also hate the soldiers of Jesus Christ as well. Don't get your feelings hurt when the world comes against you. Don't cry that it is not fair, that hardship is to be expected in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I just kind of have to play what if, because I was never in the military. But can you imagine a young recruit coming to his commanding officer complaining about his conditions are less than perfect? Can you imagine, Brother Ben? Oh, I don't like people coming at me with guns. Yeah, push-ups forever. You know, could you please put me in a better situation? It's not fair that the enemy is gunning for me, that he's threatening to ruin my life and to take me out. We are in a war, and it is a tough war, and we must endure hardship. But at the same time, always remember that our enemy is not now nor ever will be people. We are to love people. And we are to fight the enemy who happens to use people as his tool. Next, we need to stay focused. And we'll start landing here. This old veteran sitting in a dark, damp cell gives the young recruit Timothy another piece of advice. He says, Timothy, stay focused. He tells him, no one serving as a soldier entangles himself in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the recruiter. Paul didn't get to this point in his life by getting off mission, by doing it his way. No, he stayed true to the task before him. He stayed focused on the mission before him, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Remember what Paul said, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue my goal as my goal, the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. I keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm not going to get sidetracked to the right or to the left. I'm not going to get entangled. You know, it's easy to lose focus as believers in Jesus Christ. It's easy to get distracted, especially in our social political climate today. It is easy to get so tangled up with so many other things. There are so many things that are clamoring for our attention. There is so much that screams to us, get involved in this, or do this. What about this cause? What about this cause? Paul says, I forget everything except for following Jesus. And he said to the Corinthians, he said, I claim to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was his message. That was his mission. That was what he stayed true to. And the only time he got, if you will, detoured with the Pharisees and the Jews and some of the Gentiles is when they tried to muddy up that message. Stay true to the message. You know, it's easy as individuals and as a church to get sidetracked. You know, you can find churches all over the place. You know, they're all about this, or they're all about that, or they're all about political action, or they're all about a social change, or not that any of that is bad in itself, but that cannot be our focus. Our mission here at Northside Baptist Church, our mission is to see unfulfilled people transformed by Jesus Christ and brought into an ongoing relationship with each other. That's our mission. That's what we want. Everything we want to do is about seeing there are so many unfulfilled people out there looking for fulfillment in so many things. And our task as a church, as believers, and this really is nothing more than the Great Commission reworded a little bit, is to see unfulfilled people transformed by Jesus Christ and then brought into an ongoing relationship with each other. And as we do this, we want to focus on the values that we have of serving and generosity, of compassion, of relationships and of biblical knowledge. Those are the things that we value as a church. We want to keep bringing people back to this. How do we do all of this? We have on our other screen, we have our little heart logo. The way people are going to be brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ and transformed and are going to learn the importance of serving and generosity and learn the importance of compassion and relationships and biblical knowledge is to stay focused in worship, in connection with one another, in growth, and in service to our community and beyond. That's how it's done. In order to evolve as a believer in Jesus Christ and to grow and be strengthened in Jesus Christ, you need to be worshiping the Lord. You need to be connecting with your brothers and sisters. You need to be learning and growing, and you need to serve in some capacity or another. As a church, that's what we're all about. And you're going to hear more and more about that over the coming year. Seeing unfulfilled people be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And then brought into ongoing relationship with each other. And that we want to see people involved in growth and connecting and service and what we value. We do all of this because it is what Jesus called us to do. And we are called to please Him and not to please ourselves. And so, veterans, again, we want to say thank you for your service. Each of you has answered a call to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Upon his discharge from the military after World War II, one recruit was told by his discharge officer, "You are leaving the greatest fighting force ever known to man." And as Americans, we like that. We take some comfort in that, and well, we should, from a purely human physical standpoint. And I understand that and respect that and agree with that and mean no disrespect at all. But there is a greater fighting force. You know that? There is a greater fighting force, and it is the Lord's army. It is none other than the local church. You know, when someone says, "What did you do in church today?" We helped change the world. We helped change the world. Little old Northside, we helped change the world. It is the Lord's army as displayed through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how we need the prayer and grace shown by veterans of the Lord's army. But oh, how we need boots on the ground to fight an enemy who will not relent, even though he will never win the war.